You will turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. We're reading from verses 12 through 16. And it says that so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do so as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. Now Jesus here, he had made all the necessary preparations to observe the Passover with his disciples. And this was going to be his last one with those that he loved and who is closest to him on this earth. And when they had entered the house where they were to share the Passover, the 12 began to argue as to who was going to wash the other's feet. In those days, it was custom when you come into a home that you were supplied with the means of having your feet washed. Unpaved roads and open sandals kind of made dirty feet. And Jesus was the host of this feast, and yet he washed the apostles' feet. Here he's making some I am statements. Jesus says in this context that he is the Lord and Master. So that eliminates all other lords and masters. But here he also shows us the great example of servitude. You know, whether we realize it or not, things are different in the kingdom than they are in this world. Jesus is the Lord. He is the Lord of the earth. I say this because he made it. John 1 and verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the 24th Psalm in verse 1, it says, The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And in the 33rd Psalm in verse 6, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. These verses here tell us that the Lord is Master and Lord. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom all things, and we in him, and the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Yes, he is our Lord. But Jesus is also the Lord of nations. We wonder why the world is in such shape as it's in if the Lord is in control of all. But in Colossians 1 and verse 16, Paul writes, For by him were all things created that were in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And even in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1 and verse 5, it tells us that he is the ruler over the kings of the earth. In Ephesians 1 and verse 21 says that Jesus is far above principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Yes, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And Jesus is also the Lord of all men, whether you believe in him or not. Some do not believe. Some believe but will not obey. But whether you do not believe or whether or not you will obey, we will all come face to face with our Lord and Master. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, Paul reminds all believers, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad. It's everybody. That's everybody. And it should be a constant reminder, which is what Paul is trying to tell us, as Christians especially. But even those who do not believe in the Bible, do not believe in God, will be there in line with everyone else. In Philippians 2 and verses 9 through 11, Paul tells us that God was highly exalted, had highly exalted his Son, and gave him a name above all names. And here's the key, that at his name every knee shall bow. The things of heaven, the things in the earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God's glory. There's going to be a sad awakening that last great day. And everybody's knees are going to hit the ground. And you can imagine what's going to go through their minds at that moment. He is my Lord, and He is your Lord. Will we not bow to Him, or will we wait until it's too late for Him to save us? Jesus is the master of the house. As master, He assigns responsibilities and tasks. Look at Mark chapter 13. Listen to what Mark wrote here, verses 34 through 37. And the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. And Jesus says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master comes, at evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say to all, watch. As the master of the house, he sets the hours for entering and exiting the house. Well, that should be a scary thought. Luke 13, verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Now, of course, Jesus is speaking about those who are coming too late, who are trying to enter in. But He is the master of the house. And unless we enter that house the way the master of the house tells us to enter, the door will not open. As the master, He also determines who can come into the feast and those who will never taste of it. He speaks a parable in Luke 14 in verses 21 through 24. He said, here, and so that the servant came and showed the Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring here the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. You see, the Lord, the master of the house, invited many to his feast, and everyone made excuses. But he was determined to fill his house. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who were bidden shall taste my supper. We ask, we teach, we share, and they deny. And that last great day, when it's time to sit down to the feast, the ones that came will feast. The ones who had excuses will go hungry. But our Lord and Master Jesus Christ is also master of the bride. The bride is the church. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, John wrote down what he saw here. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You go down to verse 9. It says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He's talking about the church. As Christians, we are married to Christ. In Romans 7 and verses 1 through 4, Paul wrote here, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while the husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Now, in the proper context of these verses, he's talking about the old and the new law. That it's very obvious in the beginning, he's speaking to those who know the law. And he's telling them that the old law is dead. That they are free to engage and marry in the new law. But our Lord and Master is also Master of the servants. And I think at times if we sit down and we do a serious self-inspection, at times we could consider ourselves unprofitable servants. In his parable of service in Luke 17 and verse 10, Jesus said, "So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is and which was our duty to do." Unprofitable here does not mean useless. It means that, just means that no service was rendered beyond that which was due. We are to have the mind of Christ as a servant, just as Paul wrote in Philippians 2 and verse 5. We honor God when we serve His Son. "If any man serve me," John 12:26 says, "let him follow me, for where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor." The example of the New Testament writers make it clear that Jesus is our Master. Paul in Romans 1:1 calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Jude in Jude 1, there's no 1:1, there's only one chapter, just making sure everyone's awake. Jude calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. Peter in 2 Peter 1 and verse 1 calls himself a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. James in James 1 and verse 1 says that he is a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But brethren, all Christians are servants of Christ. In the very beginning of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, the very first clause, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants." Jesus, being Lord and Master, is also the servant. He is the servant of his Father. It was prophesied that he would be a servant. In Isaiah 42 and verse 1, it says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit in him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." In Isaiah 52 and verse 13, "Behold my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high." In Isaiah 53 and verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. A servant, and yet Lord and Master. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus himself said that he came to earth to be a servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You don't find many businesses where the owner of that business will mop floors and clean toilets. Trust me, you won't find very many, other than Barney. But I guess when you're by yourself, you don't have a whole lot of choice. But it's always beneath them to do those things. I bet you the CEO of Ford Motor Company does not even clean his own office. But look at all that Jesus came and did as a servant. A Lord and Master. And washing feet. And taking the iniquities away. And shedding his blood. For his children. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus has said and always did seek to do God's will. Without exception, without hesitation, and without fail. In John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said it was his meat to do that, to do the will of that which sent him, of him that sent him. In John 5 and verse 20, he said of that of himself that he can do nothing, and that he came not to do his will, but the will of the one who sent him. Jesus' ministry wasn't the ministry of Jesus Christ, it was the ministry of God Almighty. Everything that Jesus taught, everything that Jesus said, everything that Jesus did was the will of God. But Jesus is also the servant of his church, the Lord's church. He serves as a sacrifice for sins. In Hebrews 9 and verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." But now he's also serving as our high priest in Hebrews 4 and verses 14 through 15. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. He is not just our high priest, but he is also our advocate." 1 John 2 and verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." You see, all of us sitting here tonight, we have that advocate. And when we sin, we have that advocate who will help us in that forgiveness. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5, Paul writes, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ." How refreshing is that? To know that there's someone on our side. But you know, he's not only just the servant of us, he's the servant of all men. He serves as the one whom men can go through for forgiveness. In 1 John 2 and verse 2 it says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." One man has done that for all of us. And he also serves as the one who brings grace to all men. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." In John 1 and verse 14 tells us that Jesus is full of grace and truth. I'm getting tired reading all about this service when I think about myself. And Jesus did all these things in 3 short years and continues to do it this day, because he also serves as the one who brings light to all men. John 1 and verse 9, "That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world." Jesus in John 8 verse 12 says that he is the light of the world, and that if we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness. Jesus reveals to us that he, in this context, is Lord and Master and servant. What should our response be to these things? Should we not be willing to be more mindful of being his servant when we realize finally all of the hats that he wears and all of the responsibility that he has taken for us? If you're a Christian tonight, have you stopped acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Master? Or do you no longer believe that you're his servant? Jesus stands ready every single moment to serve you. And I pray you will humble yourselves and serve him. But if you are not a Christian, this evening Jesus gave up everything so that he could serve you. Would you give your life to serve him? Would you acknowledge him as your Lord and Master today by obeying the gospel call? If anyone has a need this evening, we pray and ask that you come as together we stand and we sing.